Hey folks, welcome to another episode of Horse Feathers. I am your host, Jake. We are excited to be back here for the 41st episode of the Free Horse Feathers podcast. There's, of course, more to be found at patreon.com/horsefeatherspod, where you can find now 41, I think, or so, 42 episodes banked. We'll have another one this Wednesday, as well as another free one on Friday. I just needed to catch up the numbers, okay? There's 41 episodes on the Patreon. There's 40 episodes here. I've just got to make it even and balanced for my own sake, so I don't go insane. Maybe that's OCD of me. I was diagnosed once with what the psychiatrist called OCPT, obsessive compulsive personality traits. I was like, what is that? Is that OCD? He's like, no, it's not OCD. It's like diet OCD. I'm like, okay. And it is true. It's like some things I get like really anxious about being off kilter or unclean or disorderly. But most of the time I live in filth. Most of the time, I mean, you know how it goes. You just, the clean clothes pile up, the dirty clothes pile up, the dog hair, holy shit, the dog hair. If I was really OCD, I would have had to already murder my dogs. They'd be dead. I would have sold them for the meat. George would have come back a little too fatty, a little too gamey, maybe. But it would have been over like a long time ago with the dogs. There is no containing the amount of dog hair that I experience on a daily basis. And if you've ever been to my house, or if you've ever really given me a hug, you understand that. I wear like a lot of black t-shirts because they're slimming. Okay. And it just so happens that I have a lot of them and they always get hairy. I can't sit on the couch before I go anywhere if I want to keep the dog hair off. I can't go in my car if I want to go anywhere, to be honest. Dog hairs are everywhere. Between the border collie and the German Shepherd Husky. God. And so I can't be OCD about everything. I do get OCD about dishes sometimes. You know, I get OCD about... I don't know. It just kind of comes and goes. That's why it's a personality trait. He's like, I kind of like that he dubbed it as a personality trait. It's like, you're just kind of like this. There's no disorder. You're just kind of this way. It's kind of worse. Obsessive compulsive personality traits. It's like, yeah, you're just kind of a poser. You know, your personality wishes that you had this disorder. Thank you, Doc. But that was one time. That was a long time ago. It makes sense to me, you know, makes sense. So this is what this is. We're just getting caught up. I just got back from almost a week long vacation in beautiful Arkansas, beautiful, beautiful Arkansas in, Northwest Arkansas, where my brother lives and, with his girlfriend, and they work together, or at least for the same company out there where they are, kind of like in the tourist business. They live on the Buffalo River, and one of them, you know, his girlfriend helps run the store and manage the store, and he works the zip line up way up in the trees in Northwest Arkansas. It's like basically a rainforest. It's beautiful. It's one of the best kept secrets, I think, of the American terrain is Arkansas, because you think Arkansas and you don't think much. And this is going to be kind of an issue, because I got to say, I fell in love with the area and the lifestyle of being in rural Arkansas. But there are some barriers, okay, that we're going to have to overcome, all right? There's a lot of culty churches out there. Like, there are churches that bear the name, like Methodist Church, Church of Christ, Baptist, but they are very small, and they probably believe some weird extra biblical shit about, you know, what's going on. There's a lot of superstition, according to my brother, up in the magical hills of Arkansas, which I understand. You know, if I grew up there and only saw three people a week, then yeah, I might get a little superstitious too. But you know, I really want to take all of my friends and move us out there, because that's really, I want that lifestyle. I want the simplicity of it, especially coming out of Dallas and traffic and all this bullshit. And then you go up in Arkansas and the only traffic really is that there's, you got to slow down for the curves. And every once in a while, you know, you'll get behind somebody and you won't be able to pass them. But that's the traffic. The traffic is the bear that I saw in the road. We saw a bear. I don't know how often you see bears in your everyday life, but it was a different experience, you know? Very different. We thought it was a dog. We thought it was a big dog, and then we got closer, and it was a big bear. It was a black bear, which, you know, black bears are supposed to be a little bit more docile. Definitely no grizzlies. They're not going to, like, rip your head off immediately kind of thing, but it was interesting, dude, because you just want to hug them. You just want to hug them. You just want to cuddle them because you were literally you're literally conditioned to hug and cuddle bears with teddy bears, you know, growing up. It's like, oh, I want, it's an extra big puffy doggy. No, it'll eat your brain and not care and not think twice. It'll at least steal your picnic basket. So that was cool. I saw a butterfly. There was other wildlife stuff that we saw down there too. It was like one thing every 2 hours that I had never seen before. There was a moth that was huge and orange, and it looked like a bird, but it was a moth. It was crazy looking. It spoke English. It was weird. I saw a butterfly. Me and my brother saw this. A butterfly carrying another butterfly. Okay. The butterfly was flying, and in its clutches below it, hanging upside down, was another butterfly. I don't know if he was dead. I don't know. I don't know the intricacies of butterfly politics. If he was like, I'm going to carry this man off into Valhalla and giving him a proper butterfly burial. Or if he was, I'm going to go eat this guy. Or if he's like, look, Vinny, you've done this for the last time, Vinny. Huh? Yeah, don't give me those butterfly kisses. All right. Hey, hey, you can flap your wings all you want, but it's time to pay the piper. All right, Vinny? No, Jordy, I swear. I don't know what Jordy is. Jordy, I swear, I never meant nothing. I'm just trying to flutter by here, hey. It's too late. It's too late, Vinny. It's too late, Vinny. It's time to pay. And then he was like, I don't know, carrying him off into some bird nest or something. Like, it's time to sleep with the birds. The birds. Time to sleep with the birds, Vinny. He's like, no. And then you just hear him getting gobbled up. Like in Bug's Life. Damn, dude. Bird was scary in A Bug's Life. But we saw that. We saw him carrying off, you know, saw one butterfly carrying off another butterfly. Just didn't seem all the time. We saw there's also some crazy vegetation out there. We got a little honeysuckle off the side of the road. But we also saw hemlock. And were warned by my brother and his girlfriend about hemlock, which is a crazy, crazy plant. If you know anything about hemlock, or if you know, like, it is super, super wild. Basically, if you, like, breathe it in, you get sick. If you pull it up without gloves or without any sort of protection, you get poison in your eyes, in your like, a small amount of this plant can kill people, livestock, and wildlife. No cure, just like 2 minutes, you're out. Boom. And it looks, you know, pretty disturbingly similar to a carrot, some sort of natural carrot that it looks like. But don't eat it, you know, because you'll die immediately and there's no cure. Pretty crazy. It was just growing on the side of the road, the side of the gravel road that my brother lives on. It was just growing right there in the ditch. You could just, well, lights out, boom. Super crazy. That's the rainforest up there. If you ever get a chance to go to Northwest Arkansas, where the Buffalo River is, it's just so, so gorgeous. And I think that eventually it's going to be like the last bit of vegetation. It's going to be up there with the rainforest, with other things, like as the last bit of like real vegetation as the earth boils and crumbles to the ground. Because that's happening. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but it's a billion degrees outside in June. I know it's Texas and all that stuff, right? You reap what you sow. It's always been hot, but damn, you're never prepared for it. You're never prepared for how hot summer is, especially if you're a hot-natured fella like me. I'm a sweaty boy all of summer. That's why I'm in this. That's why I'm literally in our guest bedroom with the shades drawn and no lights on. Okay, I'm just like, I become Gollum in the summer. I'm just like, the light. It's too hot out there. And I was thinking about this, too. I saw this article about it. It's like, the hotter it gets, the more people want air conditioning. All right. Obviously, we have to have places to escape. But air conditioning is also very, very bad for the environment. And so the more that we use it, the worse the environment gets. I don't know, there's other factors with the environment that are worsening it. Don't worry. I'm aware that there's other things other than like burning Freon or whatever, however ACs run. We got to find some other way to do it because it's making the planet worse. And if the planet gets worse, then we're going to need more AC. And the more AC we use, you see where this cycle is going to kill us all. So I've been thinking about that and trying to limit ACs. But it's just, you know, when you get free nights and you just crank it down to 64 degrees, you're like, sorry, Earth. Sorry, Earth. I like to get cozy at night, but I don't like sweating. So we crank the thing. We have free nights, you know, on our electricity. So we crank that bitch down to 64 degrees. I can't sleep hot, dude. I won't sleep. So, you know, we're killing the Earth, but it's at least it's nice and cool for now. I just was thinking about that. It was a weird paradox the other day. We're going to have to start figuring that out. But it was beautiful in Arkansas. I'll tell you that. Like, it was hot during the day at some points. It was never 100. But then at night, it just cools right off because you're in the mountains of the Ozarks. And sure, there's a lot of things going on politically in Arkansas that may not be great. All right, like I said, they've got superstitious churches and very limited internet connections. So they're only receiving certain type of information, you know, only the information that they seek out. And you've got a lot of, you know, conservative folks out there. But I think that if we all just kind of made a company move out there and see, I'm interested in living rurally. I grew up on a, you know, on a farm in the country, but I'm really bummed out by some of the politics and some of the things. And I've gotten to the point where I used to be mad at conservative, like super hyper right-wing conservative people that are kind of just regurgitating different things that they've read, that they've listened to, that they've been given. And instead of being mad, I'm just kind of sad because it's just, everybody's really susceptible. Everybody in the country, I'm not just talking about rural people. Everybody in the country is super susceptible to groupthink. And especially when there's only a few select people in your community, like, It gets really hard to think individually because you just want people to like you and all that stuff. And that's how you get big groups of people believing crazy things about the government. And if we control guns, if we do anything about guns, it means that you have to give up every gun you've ever known. It's your right, brother. You know, all that kind of stuff. There is some, you know, the concept of yolidarity. That's what I'm interested in. I was just talking to my buddy Shay about this, friend of the show, and my brother, actually, about yolidarity. When you work with... when you work and live around people of a certain persuasion, usually white, usually Christian, evangelical, but like deep roots in country spaces, right, where limited education and things like that, it gets really easy to like judge those people. And people do, don't you worry, okay? People like from the coasts or from, you know, more progressive areas, like spit in the face of people that they deem to be like evil and all this stuff. And I think there's some of that, but mostly it's just a bunch of misguidedness. Everybody suffers from a little bit of misguidedness, but the particular brand that has infiltrated our, you know, country and rural spaces is all about, you know, they have the same like problem. Workers in the country have the same problems as workers in cities. They've just been given different, you know, information about how to fix that. And there's no solidarity. It's just like, well, if the Democrats will do that, and if the Republicans will do, you know, there's a lot of things that bring us together. There's a lot more things that bring us together than separate us, you know. And I think if there was some solidarity between country and city folks, I think if there was some solidarity, you know, amongst country folks, and if they were a little bit more understanding or could have people that wouldn't just like call them racists and Nazis and all that stuff whenever either they don't know better or they aren't that and are just pinned as that because they live in a certain part of the country. There is a common enemy, and it is greed. All right, let's move on. This is not a political podcast. There's just so much going on in the world, all right? There's just so much going on in the world. We had a good time in Arkansas. It's a beautiful place. You know, not a whole lot more to say about that. I'm sure I'll say more on the Patreon later as I remember things. But it was a beautiful, beautiful time. Beautiful time. You gotta get away from the heat. You got to get away from the city. You got to get into nature sometime. And I'm telling you right now, that's my new push, is to get all of my friends to make a company move to Northwest Arkansas or some other beautiful place like that, so I can have all my friends and my wife can have her friends, but we can still live where sometimes you can run into bears. Not that you can't run into bears here in Dallas, but it's a different kind of bear, okay? Usually around Oakland, that sort of thing. Ha-ha! Ba-dum-tsh. No, I only bring that up. I want to mention, especially during Pride Month, that I'm very much an ally of, I wasn't raised to be, but I'm very much an ally of LGBTQ folks. I'm obviously like an idiot and learning things all the time. Wasn't raised in a place where that was widely accepted. And then I thought that was dumb a long time ago. And, you know, now everything, you know, is basically fine. But I'm still an idiot, you know, cis het, don't understand things. There was one in particular instance why I bring this up is because I saw this meme on the internet back in the day. I was like 20 or 19. I was like 18. I was young. I was fresh on the internet, fresh on Facebook. And I saw this meme that said, like, what you thinking about? And it was a bear, like, posing that questions like a bear in the woods. And then on the bottom part of the meme, no pun intended, there was a naked man with a beard leaning over, and everything was covered up, but he was naked, and he was just like, had his head in his hands, all cute like, you know, and just says, oh, just bear stuffs. And I just thought that was really funny, but I didn't know what it meant, but I either shared it, or I liked it, or maybe even sent it to dad. I maybe even sent it to my dad. And I like didn't know really about the term bear or bear. I didn't know the glossary, you know, I just didn't know what I didn't know. And so I was like, oh, bear stuff is funny because bear, I don't know, bear is funny, you know, because the guy's naked. My dad was like, yeah, that's because he is a homosexual hairy man and they call them bears. I was like, how do you know that? He's like, don't worry why I know that. No. he taught me something that day. And I didn't know that. But I thought that was really funny that I was just like, oh, I didn't know that bears were a thing. And now I have lots of gay and trans folks in my life that can correct me for being an idiot, you know, when I'm an idiot. Because you just don't know what you don't know. And that's part of that solidarity too, man. Got to help people got to educate people, you know, because people are dumb. Whenever I was a kid, I think I told this story. I don't know. Maybe I just told it to somebody recently. Some quote by Anonymous came over the radio. Some radio show was talking about like, oh, this really inspirational quote by Anonymous, right? Which obviously means you don't know the author. But I thought Anonymous was just like a Greek name of a philosopher. And in the back seat of my car, I said, while my mom was driving, I said, yeah, Anonymous, he was a pretty smart guy. He was pretty smart, pretty wise dude. I literally said, I was in third grade or fourth grade, and she looked back, and she didn't know if I was messing with her or not. She kind of had that, like, is he messing with me, or is he this dumb? I was that dumb. She was like, Anonymous just means that. I was like, oh, yeah, no, I knew that. Totally. Mom, you didn't need to tell me all that. I know all those things. But you just don't know what you don't know until you don't know it, okay? That's why I don't like, you know, final point about the solidarity, and then we'll move on, is that I don't understand why people are like, why don't you educate yourself? Okay. It's not my job to educate you about social issues, about things that are problematic. And I just think that is, silly. If you have an opportunity to, and maybe I'm just speaking as a teacher, that's kind of what I do, but if you have an opportunity to educate somebody, do it. If you have an opportunity to say, hey, actually, you know, not correct, maybe you don't have a relationship with someone where you can correct them, you know, or call them out quote unquote, or anything like that. But you can say, like, if someone's legitimately asking about something, talk to them. Okay? Educate them. Hey, you notice you said she. I actually use they, them pronouns. Oh, okay. That might take me a minute to get. Is that okay? Yeah, that's fine. If you have a relationship with the person, then it can, I don't know, it can help. But I will say, moving on, that there is certain parts about rural America that I just don't understand. Having lived there myself, having grown up in that kind of environment, I still don't understand it. There was something that was drawn to my attention. I've actually posted a picture of it on the Instagram, horsefeathers at horsefeatherspod. And there was someone from my hometown of Springtown, Texas. Salute! Springtown, America, baby. Let me tell you something. Home of the fighting porcupines. I know I've talked about the porcupines on the podcast, but yeah, we were the porcupines, all right? That's where we grew up. There's nobody else on planet Earth that has porcupines as their mascot. We decided to be that. And there's in that, it's that same sense of ingenuity and that same spirit of individualism that leads me to bring to your attention what I'm about to. There was this Facebook marketplace, or it was on the group known as Springtown Bulletin Board, where folks can, you know, the community can come together on Facebook and talk about some, you know, this is what I do for, you know, if you want, hey man, you want me to fix your fence? Okay, I've got some extra wood out here. I've got some plank. I've got a pallet full of extra stuff. I could come fix your fence for you. Okay, if you need I've got my PhD. That's my post hole digger. Okay, I can dig you a hole. I can put a fence up for you. Or maybe you're like, I'm starting a welding business. Okay, these are some of my welds. I've been doing this. I've been apprenticizing at a welding spot, and I just want you to let you know that I'm a welder now. And if you need anything welded, okay, if you got some metal needs to be put together permanently, then I'll do it as permanently and as good as possible. I'll do it. Hey, if y'all need your tiny little weird dogs to be groomed, okay, I've got a van that I inherited from my aunt once she died of lupus, and I've gone ahead and turned that thing into a mobile grooming dog station, okay, which I mean I've got curtains on the windows of the van and a set of clippers for $16 that I bought off of Amazon. And so if you want, I can groom your dog. I can give you a good cut. Okay, it'll look real good. Stuff like that. All right, that's the Springtown bulletin board. I didn't read any of that. That's not real, but it could be, because what it is real is this lady. Her name is Stacy, and she just bought a paint gun, like a spray paint gun, you know, using that you use for spray paint. I don't know. This is how the message reads here. I got a paint gun. Stop. I shouldn't read it like a telegram. I got a paint gun. I'm ready to start painting for you. My prices are reasonable for the amazing job I do. As you can see in the pictures, .. I do a reasonably good job. Prices start at $100 per hour. Message me for your painting needs. Now, we'll get to the pictures, but the paragraph alone, I do the amazing job versus I do a reasonably good job right after. I mean, just immediately just saying, let's set the bar where it needs to be. Message me for your painting needs, $100 an hour. So, okay, if you need something spray painted, if you need something, you know, whatever, $100 an hour, maybe that's a little steep, maybe we can negotiate that down, especially if you just bought the paint gun. But she posted online certain objects of hers that she had painted with this paint gun. And most of them were a truck. Okay, she covered in glossy globs of spray paint this truck in dark, deep Clifford red spray paint. And it's shiny. She did it the side of the tire. She didn't do the windows, but she did the side, the walls of the tires, the hubcaps, the hood of the car, underneath the hood of the car, the engine block. She lifted up the hood and just sprayed all in there. The interior of the truck, including seats, seat belts, steering wheels, radios, dash, speedometer, looks like that's been covered up with red paint, AC, that's been covered up with red paint, The floor, the gas pedals, the brake pedal, the shifter, everything, the flip down visor thing, the ceiling, the backs of the seats, everything about this truck other than the windows and the windshield is bright, glossy, shiny red. And for good measure, she posted a picture of the saddest looking Chihuahua I've ever seen, spray painted red. This woman, this maniac, this menace to society, spray painted her Chihuahua dog red with her spray paint gun. Now, folks, this is a good opportunity as any to say, please do not do methamphetamine. That's the only thing I can think that happened, other than the fact that maybe she started the paint gun and she didn't have anything on her face and she was unready for the fumes. And so maybe she did just want to paint like the truck like a normal person, just the actual, you know, body of the truck. Maybe she started off painting the body of the truck and she started huffing those fumes. She's like, you know what? Also could be red, the tires. That way it matches the body. I think I'm going to spray paint the tires. And then she keeps huffing, and the more she paints, the more she huffs, the crazier ideas she gets. You know what else would be super cool? You know what would be so badass is if the interior of the truck, what with the steering wheel and the I bet that would look so cool. And she gets in there, she opens the door, she starts spray painting the interior. But then she's got to reach over to the other side. So she gets in and she's just absorbing more fumes because she closed the door while she's spray. She's just hot boxing this fucking spray paint gun, just spraying everything. And then she's like, you know what would be so cool? Would be if, and by this point, she has it like underneath her lip. I think that she like spray painted it like those guys off of Mad Max that are like, I'll see you in Valhalla, and they spray paint their mouth and they go. I think this is what, at this point, she doesn't have a picture of herself, but I can only imagine how red her face is. Imagine right under her nose on their upper lip, there's no short. I bet she sprayed herself just straight to the dome, because then she's like, the interior of the engine would look so cool if I spray painted it red. This would be so cool. And she spray painted the entire interior red. And then after leaning over and spraying like every bit, the radiator, the engine block, the fucking place where you put the windshield wiper fluid, which she will be needing, she probably just put paint in there, you know. She looks at the dog and she says, oh, it's Clifford the big red Chihuahua. You know, she had to hold the dog while she was spraying him, so she, because he wasn't going to stick around for that. And so she spray painted him in her arms. She's covered in paint. He's covered in paint. Off to Facebook. I'm pretty goddamn good at this. So again, there's just, you know, when you say that you don't want to educate people, I think that there's some room for it. That's all I'm going to say. There's some room for educating folks. There is some room for, you know, maybe bridging some gaps socially in this country. That said, make sure you contact Stacy for all of your spray painting needs. Quick shout out to Springtown Stacy. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When I return, we'll be back with some talks, some things that are happening. I'll see you in a minute. Hi, folks. Thanks so much for listening to Horse Feathers. If you like what you're hearing, please rate and review our show on Apple Podcasts and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts so that you don't miss a single episode. You can follow us on Instagram at Horse Feathers Pod. You can follow us on Twitter at Horse Feather Pod, or you can email us at horsefeatherspod@gmail.com. If you like what you're hearing and you want more, $2 a month on the Patreon, patreon.com/horsefeatherspod. $2 there a month gets you 4 extra episodes a month, 1 per week, and early access to the regular episodes. We want to hear from you. Please send in questions, comments, violent complaints, or requests for advice over the DMs or email to be featured on the show. More than anything, if you're enjoying yourself, thank you so much for being here. Make sure to tell your friends. Folks, we're back. Welcome. I know that we talk a lot about education here, and you know, some of it's boring maybe to you at some points of other where it's just a lot of shop talk, you know, a lot of complaining that education is not getting the attention that it needs right now. and all its many areas of possible reform, but it could always get worse, right? I don't want to be a Greg Abbott guy. I'm not talking about the shootings. That's a separate issue. I'm not Greg Abbott, our governor, who said that it could have been worse after 19 kids and two teachers died. I'm saying that in general, the area of school discipline, a lot of teachers right now are complaining that, you know, students aren't as behaved as they used to be, right? There's a lot of kind of curmudgeon-y things I've heard tossed around about kids' behavior and how they're just not respectful and how they're this and that and the other. And we've talked about this before. You know, some teachers deserve the respect and some teachers just absolutely do everything in their power to get kids to hate them. And I understand that, you know, sometimes you have kids that are real behavioral problems that really need to understand what it's like to live in society with other people. And you try to be as kind as possible. Now, of course, that doesn't always happen. A lot of the times administration comes down harshest on the people that need the most help from them, you know. And I'm speaking generally here, of course. But I can speak specifically about this particular story I came across as I was looking up different things about Dallas ISD and Dallas's high schools and things like that. I came across this part of the Wikipedia page for South Oak Cliff High School, which is a huge high school in Dallas. I think they recently won state in football. It's a growing community. It's a cool school by all accounts now. But it wasn't always that way. I'm on the Wikipedia page here for South Oak Cliff under the controversy tab, and it says this: a 2008 investigation. This is, you know, a long time ago, especially in education years. That's like 50 years in education years, in public education years, especially after COVID. A 2008 investigation within the Dallas School District's Office of Professional Responsibility found that then-principal Donald Moten, as well as other school officials, staged cage fights among troubled students, making them fight in a steel utility cage inside a boys' locker room. You know how you always have, you know, those kids that just don't understand. Maybe something's going on at home that prevents them from being as emotionally mature and emotionally together as some kids, and they take their aggression out, or they take their anger out in the form of aggression, where they'll bully people, they'll fight people, or they'll get into fights or whatever. That's one thing to have that happen. It's an entire other thing to put the motherfuckers in steel cages among the troubled students. They're not getting along. Why don't we put them in fucking Fight Club and have them beat the shit out of each other in a cage in the boys' locker room? I imagine this is one of those places that where you like can lock up equipment and stuff like that. Not for this principal. This is fight night. The investigation showed that Moten and other employees, quote, knew of the practice, allowed it to go on for a time, and failed to report it. I imagine they were engaging freely in it. That's what it seems like. Just seems like an interesting way to enact discipline, you know? It's one way to do it. That's all I'm saying. It's maybe not the best, okay? Maybe not the worst. I feel like, have you ever seen, like, the chokey? Like, once I saw Matilda, it ruined my life, okay? Once I saw Matilda, I was way too young to see Matilda and understand what the hell was going on. I thought that all principal's offices were like that, and my parents saw that and made no effort to correct it, and which is why I was a sweet little boy for the most part in school, other than messing with people and trying to get away with it. But the idea of throwing me whenever I was in high school in a cage match as disciplinary action, I just think that that would be bad for culture. That's just me. So that was one thing back in 2008. But this guy is not done. South Oak Cliff High was stripped of its 2005 and 2006 state basketball championships after investigators determined Moten had coerced teachers into changing athletes' grades, which every teacher in Texas especially has said, yeah, no shit. It's like half of their job sometimes. Some of them act like it. I haven't run into a principal like that, but there are lots of them out there. District reports are also confirmed unauthorized pep rally fundraisers that Moten, that's the principal, used to fund personal gambling trips. Now that, I mean, this guy, and just knowing that he would stage a pep rally fundraiser just to go on his own gambling trips, 100% confirms that back in the cage fighting days, he was making bets with coaches on who would win. Absolutely, 100% happened behind closed doors. They could probably never prove that enough to write about it, but I can almost guarantee you that this man engaged in gambling on fighting children. He had a previously checkered past work history at the Dallas Police Department. Okay? So he went from being a cop to being a principal. Red flag number, that should be an immediate red. Like, don't, no one can come. Hey, how about this? If you were trained to be a police officer before you were trained to be a teacher, you can't come. Not allowed. Nope, you stay home, actually. We're good. We're good on that. Especially principal, dude. You get so power mad, I imagine. But back whenever he was on the police force, he staged his own kidnapping and accidentally fatally shot an elderly Crime Watch volunteer. This man is a mess. He's an absolute menace. Moten the menace. He was moved from South Oak Cliff High to Jackson Elementary School in 2006 and then resigned in the district in 2008. So they moved him like a Catholic priest to another place. Good. Put him in the elementary school. That's a good idea. He'll have the third graders like fighting to see who's the best, you know. I mean, he'll have kids throwing each other down slides, cross monkey bar, like it'll be carnage. I don't know where he is right now, but I wish nothing but the worst for him. It's insane how much this guy got away with and was still allowed to be an employee of the district. Some people were just born to ride, and this is one of them, Donald Moten. Just absolutely born to ride this motherfucker into the ground. Look, the first step was to get out of the Dallas Police Department after staging a kidnapping. You should no longer be able to work in government of any kind. We got to start talking to each other, okay, about these crazies. We got to start saying, hey, that guy was fighting children and betting on it. So maybe let's not, hey, he staged his own kidnapping, so maybe let's not make him the moral, ethical, and instructional guide for an entire high school of young people. How about that? I swear they make anybody principal these days. And I'm not talking about any particular principal, okay? No names here. I'm just saying I've known some principals that are a bunch of ding-dongs that have made me wonder why they have the position in the first place. Everybody has had a principal like that. As a child in high school, or, you know, who just, like, what is the deal with this principal? Heck, he's just, like, he's the stereotypical evil figure and leans into that heavily. Or if you're a teacher, you've worked for people that just, like, should not work with children and end up being in charge of everyone. So it's nice to see that nothing really has changed. I mean, luckily we're not that I know of, staging any cage fights. That seems to have gone by the wayside as far as a disciplinary practice. But it is kind of crazy what we used to do in schools to discipline kids. I was in school when they still had paddling. They had those big old wooden paddles. They'd bring you in, they'd swat you with it. The principal would swat you with it. There's no shot that this guy didn't hit a kid, right? But I'm just saying, like, we had principals. We had one principal that would ask the secretaries to measure girls' cleavages to see if they were in dress code, because that was part of the dress code, how much excuse me, cleavage you had. I never got caught, but others did, and they made life hell for them. It was just really unfortunate. And in general, I don't really understand, beyond like keeping the lights on and being supportive of teachers, I don't really understand the function of principal. I don't think that they do either a whole lot of the times. This guy definitely didn't, okay? This is like the D.B. Cooper of Dallas ISD, okay? How did he get away with so much for so long? He goes from the Dallas Police Department, where he's got his own kid, he stages a kidnapping and shoots an elderly Crime Watch volunteer. I've tried to look up more on this guy, and there's just not, he just faded into the distance. I mean, like I said, I've had some asshole principals, but this guy was a true, like, Disney villain. Or just a gambling addict. Maybe just a gambling addict. Anyway, we're going to get out of here. Before we do, I want to show you a couple things I found interesting online. One of them is from our, it's a podcast favorite account called Christian Nightmares. They post a lot of crazy stuff that Christians get into or have gotten into. And a lot of it is, you know, a lot of it is just really, really ludicrous stuff, like really kind of exposing some of the, hopefully, you would think that these are fringe beliefs and fringe people on the fringes of belief, but it seems a little bit more and more mainstream. I'll show you what I mean. He shows this little clip from it's a promotional clip from a church that it shows a big crowd of, just going to be honest, mostly white people jumping around and praising Jesus, or jumping around and doing something, responding to the music and the speaker. Let's give a little peek into what is going on at a lot of church services in the U.S. of A.
The prophet told us this weekend, America, I'm giving you one more chance to choose righteousness.
Now, already we're 9 seconds in and you understand kind of what's going on. The lady who's screaming this is probably in her 50s. She has a Karen haircut. There's no other way to describe it. Hey, shave your head, Karens. Hey, it's time to shave your head. That's over. Like, people already are going to assume a certain thing about you. I went back to my hometown's, Springtown's graduation recently, and to watch my cousin graduate, and there were still people rocking the old comb-over front and kind of spiky slash poofy back short haircut situation for women. You know, the higher the hair, the closer to the Lord, you know, like that kind of hair. People were still rocking that. I mean, that was big back in the early 2000s, something like that. And people are still holding on to that haircut for dear life. This one's not like that, but it is a short, like very much a Karen-looking lady. And you can kind of hear her. She's basically trying to be a black preacher. Like, she's basically taking over or appropriating, you know, the kind of the mannerisms of, you know, of historically black churches, because he's just like, Lord, you know, you can kind of hear it in her voice. Let's hear it again. There's also something else you may notice.
The prophet told us this weekend, America, I'm giving you one more chance to choose righteousness.
Chance! You know, I'm giving you one, America! Like, she put a at the end of America, you know? You also notice that the drummer is just going fucking bananas in the background. Okay, listen to this guy.
As the ecclesia, we decree America.
I mean, the dude is just pounding back there. Just nothing other than the drums of war, apparently, and this lady just screaming about America. I'm just imagining, as a drummer myself, I'm imagining what the gig was like, you know, if this drummer is, because, you know, a lot of the times, with a church like this, I would imagine that they vet their worship lead teams pretty seriously, and they probably do believe a lot of the same things that these that this crazy lady believes, and that the whole church seems to be responding positively to. And you know, that's very probable, or it could be just that, like, he answered a Craigslist ad in his drumming, or some sort of ad. Because a lot of the work out there for musicians happens in churches, as far as paid work or volunteer work, you know, that happens a lot too. But I can't imagine if the drummer is like really into this, or if he's just like, I don't give a fuck what they're talking about up there, I'm jamming, just back there absolutely riffing while this lady, he's ripping while this lady's riffing, you know. Let's hear what she's got to say.
To choose righteousness. Oh, as the ecclesia, we decree America will choose righteousness. Abortion will turn and be defeated. Perversion will be defeated.
Now, while this is happening, you can hear the crowd in the background kind of screaming and stuff. There's lots of hands being thrown in the air, lots of people feeling the spirit, so to speak, just kind of like gyrating in place, you know, while she's speaking these things. America! You know, all these all these crazinesses that she's spouting off. I don't even know what she means half the time, but then she gets into the real stuff, you know.
Sex marriage will be overturned. America is turning. Arizona is turning. This Southwest region is turning. Awakening is on the horizon.
And there's lots of white people jumping up and down and screaming and crying and carrying on and all that stuff while this lady is screaming about abortion and same-sex marriage and all these things that will be overturned. This is the start of Christo-fascism, which is a favorite subject of this podcast. I just thought it was a little silly that the metal drummer in the background was just like absolutely losing it while this white lady is doing just like, this is white lady metal. That's what this is. This is white lady metal, and she's some priestess or prophetess or whatever, but this is what's going on. And a lot of people are losing their minds. There's people like on the worship team like singing and raising their hands to the Lord, and it's just
America, I'm giving you one more chance to choose righteousness.
That one right there. That one right there was when you knew that she was trying to come up with the next thing to say. Yeah, I mean, like, there's no shot that I don't. Maybe she was starting to speak in tongues. I don't know. That's usually what the code word for speaking in tongues is. Is I'm thinking about the next thing to say. Woo! You know, just absolutely turn. People are just turning the fuck up in this church, and it's pretty interesting to see. That's the stuff that's happening around America. That's happening. That particular thing is happening in Arizona. So, you know, watch out. Some churches mean like, oh, I go to church and we, you know, have a lot of programs that help the community and we give to the poor and we do this, that stuff. And then sometimes when people say I go to church, they mean they do this. They jump around like a bunch of Looney Tunes and, you know, it is what it is. But I just thought that was a good one. That's from Christian Nightmares. You can follow them on Twitter and Instagram and all sorts of stuff like that. Let's just stay in this vein, shall we? Let's just stay in this vein. Now, this is a guy who's found his videos have found their way to TikTok. And he's got a lot of fun ideas about... he's one of these guys that is just like always trying to find end times symbolism, symbology, whatever, in all of the popular pop culture things of the day. He also writes his own music, which we may get into sometimes, but this one just kind of came across my desk, so to speak, on TikTok. This is the Antichrist explained via Carly Rae Jepsen lyrics.
Hey, I just met you. This is crazy, but here's my number. Call me maybe. Let's look at those four phrases separately.
By the way, regardless of theology, this is as deep as anyone's ever analyzed these lyrics.
And see how God is revealing to us the name of the Antichrist.
Go ahead.
Hey, I just met you. Now, the I in this case refers to the Antichrist. And just meeting you means that he is revealing himself. This is the Antichrist's entrance into the end times.
Now again, I don't know where he got the whole Antichrist things from, just hey, I just met you. I'm just imagining the Antichrist showing up and just being like, hey, I just met you and this is crazy, you know, like that's, I don't think that they're gonna choose, there's probably gonna be some more like some cooler lyrics that they would choose to give their message to the world, maybe through some death metal, I don't know, but we'll, you know, maybe it's Carly Rae Jepsen, maybe I'm wrong.
And this is crazy.
Aha. Uh-huh.
That's the 7 years of tribulation.
Wait, how is this crazy, 7 years of tribulation?
But here's my number. He is talking here about his number of the beast, which he is going to give to every one of us.
Which is good. So that, I mean, of course, any time that a number is brought up with like end times prophets or conspiracy theorists, he's like, numbers? Do you mean 666? Do you mean 666? Do you mean the three sixes that mark the end times and everyone's going to... Do you mean that one? No. Carly Rae Jepsen just wants to give a cute boy her number so that maybe he can call her later and maybe they can engage in dating activities or maybe go out for a drink or something or a snack. I don't know how old Carly Rae Jepsen was at the time. But anyway, I don't know that it's this deep, man.
So call me, maybe. Now, he's not saying call me on the telephone. Hmm. What the Antichrist is saying here is, my name is maybe. Oh. Call me, maybe.
Did you get that, you dumbasses? All right, he's saying call me, maybe.
Nostradamus also called the Antichrist Mabus. Hey.
Yeah, you morons. All right, you thought it was just a cute little bop. It's not. It's the Antichrist telling us that and trying to lure us into his evil ways through the magic of Carly Rae Jepsen. And I'll say it's working, okay? How many streams does that Call Me Maybe have? Call me maybe. I type it in and all of a sudden just my screen turns into a portal to hell. Let's see. Call Me Maybe has 842,479,666. No, just kidding. 947. It's pretty popular. So if the Antichrist is doing that, then he's doing a good job. This one I use specifically. I weaponize this song. I can connect to the Alexa because I have not yet purged my house of all listening devices by major corporations. It's whatever. I like waking up and saying, "What's the weather like?" to a robot, okay? And that right now, the convenience of that doesn't outweigh the dangers of the surveillance state. What was I saying? So Carly Rae Jepsen, when I can't get a hold of my sweet wife, who is very sweet, but sometimes forgets where her phone is, or forgets that she owns a phone, and I need to get a hold of her while I'm on my way home or something, then I will connect to the Alexa in my living room and blast Call Me Maybe from the speaker at the house. Works every time. There's not been a single time that it hasn't worked, except for the first times where she didn't really understand what was happening, and I had to also, then I had to switch to like Meshuggah or some sort of death metal to be like, oh, somebody's controlling this, and I bet it's my asshole husband. And it was. So maybe a few of those millions and millions of listens are probably mine trying to get my wife's attention. Okay, one more. This one I thought was really pretty funny. So BYU, which is Brigham Young University, is a Mormon university. We'll just kind of stay in this lane of, crazy religious factions, I guess. This is someone who is taking an anatomy class at BYU, Idaho, that found some interesting things about the class.
So I go to school at BYU, Idaho, which is a church-run school by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or the Mormons. And this is what I'm learning in my college-level human anatomy and physiology class.
Uh-oh.
Every diagram is censored to block out the genitalia and female breasts.
She's flipping through a bunch of slides that have circles over the no-no squares. Even though it's not like pornographic at all, it's just a diagram of like the nervous system, and it's got a female body, and so it covers up her boobs and her her downstairs area. It does the same with men. But this is an anatomy class in a college, so
His reasoning was because there are freshmen in the class who are too young for that, or they will learn about it when they're older or when they're further along in their major.
This is when they're older. Hey, man, they're older now. 18 years old. You don't think that they've heard a couple things on TikTok? Okay, this is 2022. People are eating ass from the age of 12 at these days. All right? Not really, but you understand what I'm saying. Like, they're going to hear this information one way or the other, and a college class where they should be getting the most right information has these things censored. I just love that. Like, 18-year-olds, you're too young. Okay, I'll tell you about it when you're older. Don't ask about TTs and hoo-has. Okay, cut it out. Cut it out. I know you're out of your parents' house for the first time, but if you ask me one more times about poopex and TTs and heat and hoo-has, then I'm gonna call your mama. Okay? And she'll get you right out of this freshman-level anatomy class in college.
My favorite is how we're going to go over the reproductive organs without being able to see them.
The penis. The P word is. It's just kind of like a dingle dangle. It's like, if you don't know what it looks like, there's a couple things underneath it that do. Yeah, we don't want to. It's kind of gross. It's right before lunch, I'm going to say. Yeah, I just really don't. I mean, the vagina. You can, like a professor is like whispering clinical terms for reproductive anatomy. The testicles. What was that, professor? The testes. Right. All that stuff.
I don't know how that one makes sense. A good chunk of these freshmen that are too young to see the human body in an anatomically correct way will also be married within the next couple semesters because that's just what's normal here. This does not make sense to me.
Well, there you go. They'll learn one way or the other. Okay. If they, if they're all going to be married, that is a pretty big thing too. You go to BYU, you find the love of your life and orientation, and it's off to the races. Let's start making Mormon babies. Similar thing happened at my College of Origin where, we weren't Mormons or nothing. And we actually did get to see the picture. We were pretty hardcore liberal. We actually did get to see pictures of hoo-has and TTs in the anatomy classes that we had on campus. We were pretty wild. A lot of people thought we were going to hell, but there was kind of a joke ring by spring, right? That was the idea. You find somebody, you get married right away. I'm sure that's even more amplified in the family-oriented structure of the Mormons. Just really think that's interesting. Like, you know what? We're not going to teach you about it. Also, don't Google it and don't ask anybody about it, but we're definitely not going to teach you. You know, that kind of thing happens in, for crying out loud, famously on this podcast, I once called into a local megachurch's young adults ministry to ask what a rim job was, and they wouldn't tell me. And they also told me not to Google it. It's a real shame. These days that we can't teach, all right? These are teachable moments. That's all I'm asking is for teaching and learning. That's all I ever want. That's all we can ever do, folks. We can learn. All right, I'm going to get out of here. This is a freebie, kind of a throwaway. We're going to get back on track here now that everything is well. We will have a Patreon episode at patreon.com/horsefeatherspod on Wednesday. And we'll have another free episode on Friday. And then that'll be the schedule going forward, Wednesdays and Fridays. All right, enjoy yourselves. It's later than you think. And good luck out there. And here's looking at you, kid. And good night and good luck. All right, bye.